guys. I'm so glad to be here tonight. And they've already said some really, really great things. Tyler and Susan have said great things. And I just really want to say, exclamation point, I can sit down. Because they've already, what Bethany said and what Tyler and Susan said, about what they desire for you and what they feel like God has led them to encourage you about. I just feel like I could just sit down now. But apparently I'm standing. So anyhow, I am really excited to be able to share with you guys tonight. I love e-moms. I was actually got to be part of the formulation of e-moms when it first came around when my kids were in elementary school. And it's moms and e-moms are just such a blessing. So I'm glad you're here and taking advantage of it and make it a priority to be here because it really does help to center you again and help to get some wind beneath your wings before you head back out for the month. So I'm glad you're here. I know sometimes it can be really difficult. As they said, the verse for the year, which is really what I'm going to talk about tonight, because I get to cast the vision or give the 1,000-foot view and tell you about what I'm sure that they are planning, what they said, and what I'm sure God has laid on their heart, because we've talked about that, and it's just exciting to be able to share that with you. Again, the verse is, so pull it out. You guys have it on your thing. Read it with me here. It is, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is a great verse. That is such a great verse. And I think it's really interesting timing. And I'm going to tell you why it's interesting timing a little bit later. Some of the words that come to my mind when I think of this verse are two things. One, God's sufficiency and my weakness. I think that pretty much breaks it down. And as you guys heard, the title of this talk is called The Real Deal. And I felt like if we're going to be talking about God's sufficiency and my weaknesses, we got to get real. And I am all about being real. I really hate to wear masks. I don't like to try to fake it. Those are, especially the time I am in my life, I'm 51. I'm like, I am so done all that. All right. So I can't wait to tell you what I have to tell you later about all being done with all that. So anyway, so let me get ahead of myself. Okay. So the title of this talk is called The Real Deal. So if we're going to do the real deal, you guys are going to have to say some real deal things about me. And a lot of you know me from being around church, and maybe you've had your kids come here to Vacation Bible School. Maybe you don't know me at all. But I have some news flashes for you. First of all, big news flash, I'm not a redhead. Not a redhead, never was a redhead, was not born a redhead. I have brown hair. And actually, my hair is gray. It's totally gray now. So it's nice and easy, number 110, if you want to know. It's like $7. I don't even spend a lot of money on it, so I can keep it all maintained, okay? To keep the illusion, okay? I have a daughter with red hair, and so, hey, looks good on her. So anyways. Okay, the other thing that I was alluding to about weaknesses and God's incredible timing is the fact that I just had major surgery last Tuesday. Unexpected, as God has these things planned, I had acute appendicitis. And I was taken by ambulance to the hospital on Tuesday morning and had surgery. So, hey, talk about, weaknesses and how God's timing is perfect. And I can remember thinking as the people I'm texting, I'm thinking I better probably email Tyler here because she might hear because, we have an Emmanuel, we'll have an email that goes out when people are going to the hospital like that. And I didn't want her to have a panic attack thinking, great, there goes the speaker over the year. So I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'll be okay to be here for the speaker. But it's really quite interesting, God's timing, because I think so many of us really struggle with the fact of trying to look like we have it all together. Or we also then think we do have it all together, might struggle with pride. That's one of my issues. I think we all struggle with that. And this is just a great reminder. You know what? I do not have it all together. God has it all together, and his timing is perfect. And he loves to remind me the fact that he's in control and not me. Okay, on to my next thing that you should know about me. I absolutely love sweets. Love sweets. Cookies, candies. I love Little Debbie treats. Most of all. Oatmeal cream pies are my favorite. I can be bought by those. So anyhow, and I eat vegetables because you're supposed to. And I know they're good for me. So anyhow, and this is something that you might not know about me. I have no problem talking in a group of people like this, but I feel very insecure in small social situations, especially when there's shallowness around, and I don't really want to talk about that. So I'd rather be in the back serving, wiping up something than having any kind of shallow conversation. I really do love to get right to the meat of it and to get to know who you are and talk real with you. As I said, I'm 51 years old, and they said also to have been married to my husband for 31 years. And my kids, Matt and Carly. Matt lives here in the area. He's 28, and he works for Fairfax County Schools and is wandering far, far from the Lord. And my daughter, Carly, got married 2 years ago, happiest day of my life, and they live near Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And we have a really great relationship, and I have a really great relationship with my son, too. So I'm praising God for that. Big surprise here, I love to be the life of the party. But I really enjoy quiet days at home listening to music, cleaning and organizing. Cleaning is my thing. That makes me sound really sick, isn't it? All right, and I'm sorry to have to tell Bethany this, although she already knows this, because she asked me to write something about a book review for the newsletter, and I said, Bethany, I don't read. I don't read for pleasure. I read because I should for ministry. I read God's word is the one thing I do read, and I don't like to let books ruin my movies. So, sorry. And my job here as the children's director here at Emmanuel reminds me of how weak I am every single Sunday. Every single Sunday, I get to boast in the power of Christ because I can't believe I get to do this job. The children's ministry team, we can't believe we get to do this job. And at the end of the day, it's really pretty amazing because we saw God at work. So how cool is that? My favorite stage of parenting was the elementary school years. I made it through the toddler years. They were not my favorite. They were definitely, they purified me. I loved the elementary years. I feel like I was coming into it. I loved seeing my kids' personalities develop, and I love those conversations, cars, hearing them chitter-chatter in the back, doing carpool. That was the best, singing in the car. They sang like crazy. We love to sing in our family. And who doesn't love a good knock-knock joke, right? Exactly. And you get to still have a lot of influence on their life and setting all the boundaries. I mean, this is primo time, guys. Take advantage of it. But my greatest weakness, my number one weakness, is something that we all share in common, and it is a huge, huge failure. And that is my failure to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ without his death on the cross. God has pursued me. He's pursuing each one of us, and he wants to have a relationship with you. I can't do it on my own. The only way I can have that relationship is because of him, a holy God, pursuing me and his son who died on the cross for my sin on my behalf. And he is reaching out to every single one of you guys too as well. And I want to make sure that you know that he has solved that great weakness that you have. It is my passion to be able to share God and his love with you and with the children here at Emmanuel Bible Church. And so I want to make sure that you guys know about that. If you have any questions, you are to talk to me or talk to your mentor moms or anybody here in leadership. If you don't know about how to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ because of his death on the cross, God wants you to be his children. And so that's just something I'm super passionate about, but I'm so grateful for the fact that he covered my biggest failure. So now I got to move on into that verse when we're talking about all those weaknesses, and those are just some of them, okay? There's a lot more where that came from. Now I'm going to do some bragging on God, but he is so amazing. Isn't he amazing? He is. Hallelujah. Because he chose me and saved me even though I ran from him. And he redeems beauty from ashes, and every heartache that I ever had as a mom, even though I can't see it all the time, even though I'm still waiting, He gives me wisdom when I need answers. He gives me peace when I can't sleep at night. Why are we haunted at 2 in the morning about tube socks for soccer? I don't understand that. I don't know. He gives me gifts and abilities. He does. He made me special. He made you special. But everything that I'm good at is all for him. He gave me the Bible so that I can learn about him and how he cares for me and what he wants me to know about him. He gives me perspective when I only see the small picture. Don't we struggle with that so much? We get so caught into the weeds, we don't see the big picture. He shows me how to forgive because he's forgiven me. I mean, how can I not forgive others when he has forgiven me for so much? He has a plan for me. It has so much peace and joy in knowing that he has a plan and he's sovereign. He gives me purpose, the ultimate purpose as a wife, a mom, a children's director, as a friend, as a woman. And my ultimate purpose is to brag on God and to point everybody to him. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now that's something to brag about. Now, in light of this verse and my experiences with God and my path that I've been on, I'm going to share with you some things that I wish I knew when I was an elementary mom. And I know so much people tell you things and you feel like you have to go through it to really know it. But listen, I'm trying to help you out here, okay? The mentor moms will say amen at their tables, I'm sure. Okay, and just to show you that, let's see, I think it's this one. Oh, brilliant. Check it out. Elementary Diana, mom, with my elementary children. I think my daughter was in kindergarten here. Look at us all in denim. Isn't that so 90s? Isn't that great? And even my husband. Oh, yeah. The things us wives do to our family, go, we need a family picture. So I just thought, you know, I'm looking back. I'm like thinking to myself, dear younger me, what did I need to know here? So, hey guys, this is dear you. Priorities. Everybody talks about priorities all the time, but I've got to beat the thing about priorities. The first priority is you got to be actively involved in your relationship with God. You cannot change into the person that he wants you to be if you are not actively pursuing that relationship. You have to make it a top priority. Spend time reading his word. You know, I have a really great quote that I love, and I printed it out, and I put it by my sink, and it's by Louis Giglio, which I do like him very much so as a writer, and it says, "You always have time for the things you do first." Duh. Why don't we get that? I mean, like, you always say, "I don't have time. I'm going to get to that." Well, you know, other things are going to come along, and you're not going to do it, but do it first because it's the most important. Everything else flows from it. Bible studies with others. There's great Bible studies here that meet in the night, it meet in the day, maybe at somebody's house. There's even online Bible studies. She Reads Truth, and there's all kinds of things coming out now so you could get connected with other people. Prayer, write in a journal. I've been keeping a thankful list of all the things I'm thankful for. I'm up, almost up to my 1,000. I mean, it's just little things like the sun and this weather and, you know, an ambulance to take me to the hospital. I mean, it can be big, it can be small, to do saying it because it's all what God has provided. Corporate worship. I cannot give that enough emphasis. You need to be together with the body of Christ. You can't be floundering out on your own. Just like e-moms is something that's really important to tether you as a mom, you need to be tethered to the family of God. You need to be here having the word of God preached, and you need to be part of people as a family at a church. So get connected into church and make that a priority, not just if you don't have anything else going on in your life. And this kind of foundation will help you see the big picture of what God said is being successful. Those kinds of things will help you filter what you think is being successful. The second one in priority after God is your marriage. We are empty nesters now. Bethany, isn't it great? It's really great. All the other mentor moms, it's really, really great. But it's not great if you don't really know that person. I mean, it even in a good relationship, which I feel like we had, there's still that awkwardness like, hey, where do we sit when we eat dinner? You know, like, you know, I don't know. And you can easily get caught up in like, oh, well, we'll just watch TV. We're just going to watch the news while we eat dinner. And next thing you know, it can be disconnected. You have to stay connected now. Make it out a priority now. Have date nights now. be playful, all those things that attracted you to your spouse and why you were, you know, came together, make sure that that's a priority. I cannot, because you know what? I will tell you this, rocky waters are ahead. They are a guarantee. And you need to have somebody by your side. Now, if you're not married, you need to make sure that you have somebody else who's input in your life to help you during that time, to give you that perspective. Somebody come alongside of you. Somebody maybe who's farther along down the line. There are people that you can have input and help encourage you in that role. All right. The second thing that I wish I knew was perspective. Parenting is not about my kids. God is using my children as a really effective tool to mold me into the woman that he wants me to be. I mean, there's nothing like it. You saw my emotion just talking about my son. There is no more effective tool for God to use to put you onto your knees, to get you beyond yourself, and to have you crying out for God's help than your children. We want the best for them, don't we? And you know what? He has got that perfect tool, and that's your children. And he is growing them up too, as he's growing you up. And if you are a Christ follower, you know what? Your perspective, it's not really about my life anyways. It's only about God, right? So what my life is happening here is really not what it's all about. It's about God. It's about a heavenly perspective too as well. And you know what? When you have the right perspective, you'll see what does it really mean to be successful. Again, what is God's perspective for your life? And so a lot of people talk about, well, I wonder what my will, God's will for my life is. Well, you know where to find out? It's not a mystery. Go look in God's word. There's lots of verses that if you type in, anybody know about Bible Gateway? Easy, great website, free. Type in anything you're looking for, anything you're interested in. You put it in Bible Gateway and you will find the verses. I found quite a few of them because you know what? A lot of people here think that his will for our life or will for our children is for them to be successful and to get into good colleges and to be a soccer star and to be, pianist. Yes, that's it. Anyways, and now this world, this area we live in, beats that drum a lot. There's so much pressure to have your kids in everything so that they can be a superstar. I hate to tell you this. Most of us are just average. There's nothing wrong with being average. I mean, really, average people can be very successful adults, and you know what? Average people have a really opportunity to boast in our weaknesses and really point people to God, which is really what it's all about anyways. I mean, you know, so anyhow, I've got a couple of verses. I couldn't help but read these to you about finding out what God's will is for you. Romans 12, 1 through 3. I appeal you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what the will of God is. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for Christ Jesus in you. Joy. He wants you to be joyful in all circumstances. That's God's will. 1 Peter 4, 2. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. So it's not about what I humanly want. It's about what God wants for me. Okay, my sermon is done. That'll be back on Sunday with Jesse. Okay. All right. So back to what I wish I knew when I was an elementary mom. Be fully engaged in the moments. They pass by so quickly. They do. Don't wish away the years. I mean, I really struggled with this, saying I wish they could, and when they can be independent, and when they won't need me as much. Boy, those are going to be great times. That's just wishing away the years. Enjoy and relish the time that you have. Be intentional with the time, because it does slip away. I hate to tell you this, guys, because this is something new. Get off social media. There's so much social media. All that time you're posting this and posting that. I mean, what about the people and the relationships that are around you, your children? I see so many children that are connected to elementary children who are connected to a digital device of some sort. You know, they don't know how to ride in a car without being on that. They don't know how to, you know, they want to play a game on. Those are not bad. I'm not poo-pooing at all. I'm just saying, We've got a problem here. I see it. I mean, why is a fourth grader bringing an iPhone of any sort into church on a Sunday? Why do they even have such a thing? I mean, you know, why, even if it's mom's old one, why are they using that for their Bible? I don't think so. Do you know what I mean? And I mean, and they've also, they've learned it by watching the adults do that. So please take a break from the social media and spend some time with the people in your sphere. Ask a lot of questions. Kids have some great things to say, but they have to be prompted. Ask them some great questions. And I don't mean general, like how was your day? You know, really delve into it. Ask them a lot of questions. Say no to too much activity so that you have time to hang out together as a family. Again, going back to what I said earlier about having them on this path to accelerate, to have to be the best of everything. We were very selective about the things that we had our kids involved in. Church was always going to be a priority. When the kids came along as teenagers, Wednesday night youth group was always a priority. There was no way around that. I don't care. There was no discussion. And so we were kind of choosy along the way of what things we had our kids involved in. And my husband loved to play soccer, grew up playing soccer, and he was very excited to be able to have a son and have him be able to coach his team. And so he started coaching when he was little, and I went through Burke Soccer Club and whatever, and quite a few of the people from church and things like that were on the soccer team. And that had happened all the way along until it got to about sixth grade, I think it was. And we started realizing, you know what? My husband loves soccer. My son, not so much. I mean, you know, the social part, the tunnel, the oranges, you know, the banner, just being in time with a bunch of buddies was what he was really most interested in. And we thought, you know what? Why are we doing this? And even though it was quite a few people who we were friends with who, you know, it was kind of fun hanging out with the parents of the team and everything, we decided, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to step down. And people were like, what are you doing? You know, and some of the people who, you know, weren't part of our, you know, group of Christian friends, I mean, they were like, who does that? I mean, like, and we weren't trying to go around preaching to everybody. We just said, for us, we just feel like, you know, we're going to make a family night of that night instead because of the rush of my husband trying to get there for soccer practices, and you know how it gets to be. And what a great thing, what a great choice for us at a really crucial time as my son was heading off into, you know, going to be heading off into middle school, and we made that a family night instead. Hey, how about that idea? It's just something I wish I had known sooner, okay? Be realistic. You have an incredible amount of influence on your children, on their hearts, but you cannot choose what they love. Yeah. An incredible amount of influence, which I would say right here, case in point, the denim outfits. But I couldn't choose what my son and my daughter love in their heart. My job is to influence. My job is to teach, to correct, to model. But what they love and who they love is between them and God. You cannot control it. The results are his and his timing is perfect. And even if there's heartbreak, even if you feel like you did everything right, which I feel like we did, I mean, we're not perfect. I feel like when we look back over the span of our parenting, there was some good, there was some bad. But for the most part, we did what God asked us to do. The results are up to him. And also stop trying to live vicariously through your children for what things maybe you didn't get to do or things that you wish you had. Sometimes that is something that you might think, oh, maybe we should investigate this. But some of that might be just trying to relive something that you should just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. All right, laugh. I do love to laugh. You know what? Not everything is a big deal. We make such big deals out of everything. Learn to see things and laugh about them. Sometimes you really should just laugh at spilt milk because you're like, oh, dear. You know, and be able to laugh at yourself. I mean, your kids would love to see you probably be, you know, more laughing at yourself and things that you've done that are silly. And you know what? Just because I'm silly and I love to laugh doesn't mean I'm not a person of substance. So, hey. And be honest. Find people that you can be honest with. You don't have to be honest with everybody. I mean, about everything about you, okay? But find people you should be honest with, and they challenge you to be a better you. Not just sit and commiserate about like, yeah, I know, and whatever. But somebody who can challenge you and ask you the hard questions. Be real about your weaknesses and focus on God's incredible power. Boast on how awesome God is. I love that. I mean, I really do. He's so amazing. I'm so overwhelmed by his love and in my life. I want you to use this verse that you guys have for the year as a banner of freedom and the lens for your journey of mothering, because it's all about him. As I said before, one of my favorite things to do is to be home cleaning. Love to do that, organizing, and I love to listen to music. Music is super powerful in my life, and I just love hearing great Christian artists and stuff. And one of the two music guys here, Clint and David Jones, they get regular texts and emails from me about, hey, this song. Hey, I saw this song. You know, whatever. They're probably like, ah. But I love music. But anyways, they have a song I want to share with you at the end just to help put it in perspective, who we're supposed to be pointing to in all areas of our life, that we would be pointing to him and it be about his greatness and not us. So listen up.